Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future by Father Seraphim Rose. Quote, "How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and cast out devils in thy name, and done many miracles in thy name? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that... Everyone therefore that heareth these my words, and doth them, shall be likened to a wise man that built his house upon a rock." End quote. Matthew 7:14-16 and 21-24. Preface. Every heresy has its own, quote, spirituality, its own characteristic approach to the practical religious life. Thus, Roman Catholicism, until recently, had a clearly distinguishable piety of its own, bound up with the, quote, sacred heart, the papacy, purgatory, and indulgences, the revelations of various, quote, mystics, and the like. And a careful Orthodox observer could detect in such aspects of modern Latin spirituality the practical results of the theological errors of Rome. Fundamentalist Protestantism, too, has its own approach to prayer, its typical hymns, its approach to spiritual, quote, revival, and in all these can be detected the application to religious life of its fundamental errors in Christian doctrine. The present book is about the, quote, spirituality of ecumenism, the chief heresy of the 20th century. Until recently, it appeared that ecumenism was something so artificial, so syncretic, that it had no spirituality of its own. The, quote, liturgical agenda of ecumenical gatherings, both great and small, appeared to be no more than an elaborate Protestant Sunday service. But the very nature of the ecumenist heresy, the belief that there is no one visible Church of Christ, that it is only now being formed, is such that it disposes the soul under its influence to certain spiritual attitudes which, in time, should produce a typical ecumenist, quote, piety and, quote, spirituality. In our day, this seems to be happening at last, as the ecumenical attitude of religious, quote, expectancy and, quote, searching begins to be rewarded by the activity of a certain, quote, spirit, which gives religious satisfaction to the barren souls of the ecumenist wasteland and results in a characteristic, quote, piety, which is no longer merely Protestant in tone. This book was begun in 1971 with an examination of the latest, quote, ecumenical fashion, the opening of a, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions. Four chapters on this subject were printed in the Orthodox Word in 1971 and 1972, reporting chiefly on the events of the late 1960s up to early 1972. The last of these chapters was a detailed discussion of the, quote, charismatic revival, which had just then been taken up by several Orthodox priests in America, and this movement was described as a form of, quote, ecumenical spirituality, inclusive of religious experiences which are distinctly non-Christian. Especially this last chapter aroused a great deal of interest among Orthodox people, and it helped to persuade some not to take part in the, quote, charismatic movement. Others, who had already participated in, quote, charismatic meetings, left the movement and confirmed many of the conclusions of this article about it. Since then, the, quote, charismatic revival in, quote, Orthodox parishes in America, judging from Father Eusebius Stefano's periodical The Logos, has entirely adopted the language and techniques of Protestant revivalism, and its unorthodox character has become clear to any serious observer. Despite the Protestant mentality of its promoters, however, the quote, charismatic revival, as a quote, spiritual movement, is definitely something more than Protestantism. The characterization of it in this article as a kind of quote, Christian mediumism, which has been corroborated by a number of observers of it, links it to the new quote, ecumenical spirituality, out of which is being born a new non-Christian religion. In the summer of 1974, one of the American monasteries of the Russian Church outside of Russia was visited by a young man who had been directed to one of its monks by the quote, spirit, who constantly attended him. During his brief visit, the story of this young man unfolded itself. He was from a conservative Protestant background, which he found spiritually barren, and he had been opened up to, quote, spiritual experiences by his Pentecostalist grandmother. The moment he touched a Bible she had given him, he received, quote, spiritual gifts. Most notably, he was attended by an invisible, quote, spirit, who gave him precise instructions as to where to walk and drive, and he was able at will to hypnotize others and cause them to levitate, a talent which he playfully used to terrorize atheist acquaintances. Occasionally he would doubt that his, quote, gifts were from God, but these doubts were overcome when he reflected on the fact that his spiritual, quote, barrenness had vanished, that his, quote, spiritual rebirth had been brought about by contact with the Bible, and that he seemed to be leading a very rich life of prayer and, quote, spirituality. Upon becoming acquainted with Orthodoxy at this monastery, and especially after reading the article on the, quote, charismatic revival, he admitted that here he found the first thorough and clear explanation of his, quote, spiritual experiences. Most likely, he confessed, his, quote, spirit was an evil one. This realization, however, did not seem to touch his heart, and he left without being converted to Orthodoxy. On his next visit 2 years later, this man revealed that he had given up, quote, charismatic activities as too frightening, and was now spiritually content practicing Zen meditation. This close relationship between, quote, Christian and, quote, Eastern spiritual experiences is typical of the, quote, ecumenical spirituality of our days. For this second edition, much had been added concerning Eastern religious cults and their influence today, as well as concerning a major, quote, secular phenomenon, which is helping people to form a, quote, new religious consciousness, even among non-religious people. None of these by itself, it may be, has a crucial significance in the spiritual makeup of contemporary man. But each one in its own way typifies the striving of men today to find a new spiritual path, distinct from the Christianity of yesterday, and the sum of them together reveals a frightening unity of purpose whose final end seems just now to be looming above the horizon. Shortly after the publication of the article on the, quote, charismatic revival, the Orthodox Word received a letter from a respected Russian Orthodox ecclesiastical writer who is well-versed in Orthodox theological and spiritual literature, saying, quote, "What you have described here is the religion of the future, the religion of the Antichrist," end quote. More and more, as this and similar forms of counterfeit spirituality take hold even of nominal Orthodox Christians, one shudders to behold the deception into which spiritually unprepared Christians can fall. This book is a warning to them and to all trying to live a conscious Orthodox Christian life in a world possessed by unclean spirits. It is not an exhaustive treatment of this religion, which has not yet attained its final form, but rather a preliminary exploration of those spiritual tendencies which, it would seem, are preparing the way for a true religion of anti-Christianity, a religion outwardly, quote, Christian, but centered upon a pagan, quote, initiation experience. May this description of the increasingly evident and brazen activity of Satan, the prince of darkness, among, quote, Christians, inspire true Orthodox Christians with the fear of losing God's grace and turn them back to the pure sources of Christian life, the Holy Scriptures and the spiritual doctrine of the Holy Fathers of Orthodoxy. Introduction. 1. The, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions. Ours is a spiritually unbalanced age, when many Orthodox Christians find themselves, quote, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, end quote. Ephesians 4:14. The time, indeed, seems to have come when men, quote, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be inclined unto fables, end quote. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. One reads in bewilderment of the latest acts and pronouncements of the ecumenical movement. On the most sophisticated level, Orthodox theologians representing the American Standing Conference of Orthodox Bishops and other official Orthodox bodies conduct learned, quote, dialogues with Roman Catholics and Protestants and issue, quote, joint statements on such subjects as the Eucharist, spirituality, without even informing the heterodox that the Orthodox Church is the Church of Christ to which all are called, that only her mysteries are grace-giving, that Orthodox spirituality can be understood only by those who know it and experience within the Orthodox Church, that all these, quote, dialogues and, quote, joint statements are an academic caricature of a true Christian discourse. A discourse which has the salvation of souls as its aim. Indeed, many of the Orthodox participants in these, quote, dialogues know or suspect that this is no place for Orthodox witness, that the very atmosphere of ecumenical, quote, liberalism cancels out whatever truth might be spoken at them. But they are silent, for the, quote, spirit of the times today is often stronger than the voice of Orthodox conscience. On a more popular level, ecumenical, quote, conferences and, quote, discussions are organized, often with a, quote, Orthodox speaker, or even the celebration of an, quote, Orthodox liturgy. The approach to these, quote, conferences is often so dilettantish, and the general attitude at them is so lacking in seriousness, that rather than advance the, quote, unity their promoters desire, they actually serve to prove the existence of an impassable abyss between true orthodoxy and the, quote, ecumenical outlook. On the level of action, ecumenical activists take advantage of the fact that the intellectuals and theologians are irresolute and unrooted in Orthodox tradition and use their very words concerning, quote, fundamental agreement on sacramental and dogmatic points as an excuse for flamboyant ecumenical acts, not excluding the giving of Holy Communion to heretics. And this state of confusion, in turn, gives an opportunity for ecumenical ideologists on the most popular level to issue empty pronouncements that reduce basic theological issues to the level of cheap comedy. As when Patriarch Athenagoras allows himself to say, quote, does your wife ever ask you how much salt she should put in the food? Certainly not. She has the infallibility. Let the Pope have it too, if he wishes, end quote. The informed and conscious Orthodox Christian may well ask, where will it all end? Is there no limit to the betrayal, the denaturement, the self-liquidation of Orthodoxy? It has not yet been too carefully observed where all this is leading, but logically the path is clear. The ideology behind ecumenism, which has inspired such ecumenistic acts and pronouncements as the above, is an already well-defined heresy. The Church of Christ does not exist. No one has the truth. The church is only now being built. But it takes a little reflection to see that the self-liquidation of orthodoxy, of the Church of Christ, is simultaneously the self-liquidation of Christianity itself. That if no one church is the Church of Christ, then the combination of all sects will not be the church either, not in the sense in which Christ founded it. And if all, quote, Christian bodies are relative to each other, then all of them together are relative to other, quote, religious bodies. And, quote, Christian ecumenism can only end in a syncretic world religion. This is indeed the undisguised aim of the Masonic ideology which has inspired the ecumenical movement. And this ideology has now taken such possession of those who participate in the ecumenical movement that, quote, dialogue and eventual union with the non-Christian religions have come to be the next logical step for today's denatured Christianity. The following are a few of the many recent examples that could be given that point the way to a, quote, ecumenical future outside of Christianity. 1. On June 27, 1965, a, quote, Convocation of Religion for World Peace, end quote, was held in San Francisco in connection with the 20th century of the founding of the United Nations in that city. Before 10,000 spectators, there were addresses on the, quote, religious foundation of world peace by Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish, Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox representatives, and hymns of all faiths were sung by a 2,000-voice, quote, interfaith choir. 2. The Greek Archdiocese of North and South America, in the official statement of its 19th Clergy-Laity Congress, Athens, June 1968, declared, "We believe that the ecumenical movement, even though it is of Christian origin, must become a movement of all religions reaching toward each other," end quote. 3. The, quote, Temple of Understanding, Incorporated, end quote, an American foundation established in 1960 as a kind of, quote, Association of United Religions, with the aim of, quote, building the symbolic temple in various parts of the world, end quote, precisely in accord with the doctrine of Freemasonry, has held several, quote, summit conferences, end quote. At the first, in Calcutta in 1968, the Latin Trappist Thomas Merton, who was accidentally electrocuted in Bangkok on the way back from this conference, declared, quote, "We are already a new unity. What we must regain is our original unity," end quote. At the second, at Geneva in April 1970, 80 representatives of 10 world religions met to discuss such topics as, quote, the project of the creation of a world community of religions, end quote. The General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, Dr. Eugene Carson Blake, delivered an address calling on the heads of all religions to unity, and on April 2nd, an, quote, unprecedented supra-confessional prayer service took place in St. Peter's Cathedral, described by the Protestant pastor Babel as, quote, a very great date in the history of religions, end quote, at which, quote, everyone prayed in his own language and according to the customs of the religion which he represented, end quote, and at which, quote, the faithful of all religions were invited to coexist in the cult of the same God, end quote. The service ending with the, quote, Our Father. Promotional material sent out by the, quote, Temple of Understanding reveals that Orthodox delegates were present at the second, quote, Summit Conference, end quote, in the United States in the autumn of 1971, and that Metropolitan Emilianos of the Patriarchate of Constantinople is a member of the temple's, quote, International Committee. The, quote, summit conferences offer Orthodox delegates the opportunity to enter discussions aiming to, quote, create a world community of religions, to, quote, hasten the realization of mankind's dream of peace and understanding, end quote, according to the philosophy of, quote, Vivekananda, Ramakrishna, Gandhi, Schweitzer, end quote, and the founders of various religions. And the delegates likewise participate in, quote, unprecedented supra-confessional prayer services where, quote, everyone prays according to the customs of the religion he represents, end quote. One can only wonder what must be in the soul of an Orthodox Christian who participates in such conferences and prays together with Muslims, Jews, and pagans. 4. Early in 1970, the WCC sponsored a conference in Ajaltun, Lebanon, between Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, and Muslims, and a follow-up conference of 23 WCC, quote, theologians in Zurich in June declared the need for, quote, dialogue with the non-Christian religions. At the meeting of the Central Committee of the WCC at Addis Ababa in January of this year, Metropolitan Georges Caudre of Beru, Orthodox Church of Antioch, shocked even many Protestant delegates when he not merely called for, quote, dialogue with these religions, but left the Church of Christ far behind and trampled on 19 centuries of Christian tradition when he called on Christians to, quote, investigate the authentically spiritual life of the unbaptized, end quote, and enrich their own experience with the, quote, riches of a universal religious community, end quote. Religious News Service. 4. Quote, it is Christ alone who is received as light when grace visits a Brahmin, a Buddhist, or a Muslim reading his own scriptures, end quote. Taken from Christian Century, February 10th, 1971. Number 5. The Central Committee of the World Council of Churches, WCC, at its meeting in Addis Ababa in January 1971, gave its approval and encouragement to the holding of meetings as regularly as possible between representatives of other religions, specifying that, quote, at the present stage, priority may be given to bilateral dialogues of a specific nature, end quote. In accordance with this directive, a major Christian-Muslim, quote, dialogue was set for mid-1972, involving some 40 representatives of both sides, including a number of Orthodox delegates. 6. In February 1972, another, quote, unprecedented ecumenical event occurred in New York, when, according to Archbishop Lavakos of New York, for the first time in history, the Greek Orthodox Church, Greek Archdiocese of North and South America, held an official theological, quote, dialogue with the Jews. In 2 days of discussions, definite results were achieved, which may be taken as symptomatic of the future results of the, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions. The Greek, quote, theologians agreed, quote, to review their liturgical texts in terms of improving references to Jews and Judaism where they found to be negative or hostile, end quote. Religious News Service. Does not the intention of the, quote, dialogue become more obvious to, quote, reform Orthodox Christianity in order to make it more comfortable to the religions of the world? These events were the beginning of the, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions at the end of the decade of the 1960s and the beginning of the 1970s. In the years since then, such events have multiplied, and, quote, Christian, and even, quote, Orthodox, discussions and worship with representatives of non-Christian religions have come to be accepted as a normal part of contemporary life. The quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions has become part of the intellectual fashion of the day. It represents the present stage of ecumenism and its progress towards a universal religious syncretism. Let us now look at the quote, theology and the goal of this accelerating quote, dialogue, and see how it differs from the quote, Christian ecumenism that has prevailed up to now. Introduction Part 2, quote, Christian and non-Christian ecumenism. Quote, Christian ecumenism, at its best, may be seen to represent a sincere and understandable error on the part of Protestants and Roman Catholics. The error of failing to recognize that the visible Church of Christ already exists and that they are outside of it. The quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions, however, is something quite different, representing rather a conscious departure from even that part of genuine Christian belief and awareness which some Catholics and Protestants retain. It is the product, not of simple human, quote, good intentions, but rather of a diabolical, quote, suggestion that can capture only those who have already departed so far from Christianity as to be virtual pagans, worshippers of the god of this world, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and followers of whatever intellectual fashion this powerful, quote, God is capable of inspiring. Quote, Christian ecumenism relies for its support upon a vague but nonetheless real feeling of, quote, common Christianity, which is shared by many who do not think or feel too deeply about the church, and it aims somehow to, quote, build a church comprising all such indifferent, quote, Christians. But what common support can the, quote, dialogue with non-Christians rely on? On what possible ground can there be any kind of unity, however loose, between Christians and those who not merely do not know Christ, but, as is the case with all the present-day representatives of non-Christian religions who are in contact with Christianity, decisively those who, like Metropolitan Georges Caudre of Lebanon, lead the avant-garde of Orthodox apostates, a name that is fully justified when applied to those who radically, quote, fall away from the whole Orthodox Christian tradition, speak of the, quote, spiritual riches and, quote, authentic spiritual life of the non-Christian religions. But it is only by doing great violence to the meaning of words and by reading his own fantasies into other people's experiences that he can bring himself to say that it is, quote, Christ and, quote, grace that pagans find in their scriptures, or that, quote, every martyr for the truth, every man persecuted for what he believes to be right, dies in communion with Christ, end quote. Certainly these people themselves, whether it be a Buddhist who sets fire to himself, a communist who dies for the, quote, cause in which he sincerely believes, or whoever, would never say that it is, quote, Christ they receive or die for, and the idea of an unconscious confession or reception of Christ is against the very nature of Christianity. If a rare non-Christian does claim to have experience of, quote, Christ, it can only be in the way which Swami Vivekananda describes. Quote, we Hindus do not merely tolerate, we unite ourselves with every religion, praying in the mosque of the Mohammedan, worshipping before the fire of the Zoroastrian, and kneeling before the cross of the Christian, end quote. That is, as merely one of a number of equally valid spiritual experiences. No, quote, Christ, no matter how redefined or reinterpreted, cannot be the common denominator of the, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions, but at best can only be added as an afterthought to a unity which is discovered somewhere else, the only possible common denominator among all religions is the totally vague concept of, quote, spiritual, which indeed offers religious, quote, liberals almost unbounded opportunity for nebulous theologizing. The address of Metropolitan Georges Caudray to the Central Committee meeting of the WCC at Addis Ababa in January 1971 may be taken as an early experimental attempt to set forth such a, quote, spiritual theology of the, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions. In raising the question as to, quote, whether Christianity is so inherently exclusive of other religions as has generally been proclaimed up to now, end quote, the Metropolitan, apart from his few rather absurd, quote, projections of Christ into non-Christian religions, has one main point. It is the, quote, Holy Spirit, conceived as totally independent of Christ and his church, that is really the common denominator of all the world's religions. Referring to the prophecy that, quote, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, end quote, Joel 2:28, the Metropolitan states, quote, this must be taken to mean a Pentecost which is universal from the very first. The advent of the Spirit in the world is not subordinated to the Son. The Spirit operates and applies his energies in accordance with his own economy, and we could, from this angle, regard the non-Christian religions as points where his inspiration is at work, end quote. We must, he believes, quote, develop an ecclesiology and a missiology in which the Holy Spirit occupies a supreme place, end quote. All of this, of course, constitutes a heresy which denies the very nature of the Holy Trinity and has no aim but to undermine and destroy the whole idea and reality of the Church of Christ. Why, indeed, should Christ have established a church if the Holy Spirit acts quite independently, not only of the church, but of Christ himself? Nonetheless, this heresy is here still presented rather tentatively and cautiously, no doubt with the aim of testing the response of other Orthodox, quote, theologians, before proceeding more categorically. In actual fact, however, the, quote, ecclesiology of the Holy Spirit has already been written, and by an, quote, Orthodox thinker at that, one of the acknowledged, quote, prophets of the, quote, spiritual movement of our own day. Let us therefore examine his ideas in order to see the picture he gives of the nature and goal of the larger, quote, spiritual movement in which the, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions has its place. Introduction Part 3, quote, The New Age of the Holy Spirit. Nicholas Berdyaev, in any normal time, would never have been regarded as an Orthodox Christian. He might best be described as a Gnostic humanist philosopher who drew his inspiration rather from Western sectarians and, quote, mystics than from any Orthodox sources. That he is called in some Orthodox circles even to this day an, quote, Orthodox philosopher, or even, quote, theologian, is a sad reflection of the religious ignorance of our times. Here we shall quote from his writings. Looking with disdain upon the Orthodox fathers, upon the, quote, monastic ascetic spirit of historical orthodoxy, end quote, indeed, upon that whole, quote, conservative Christianity which directs the spiritual forces of man only towards contrition and salvation, end quote. Berdyaev sought rather the, quote, inward church, the, quote, church of the Holy Spirit, the, quote, spiritual view of life which, in the 18th century, found shelter in the Masonic lodges. Quote, the church, he believed, quote, is still in a mere potential state, is, quote, incomplete, and he looked to the coming of an, quote, ecumenical faith, a, quote, fullness of faith, that would unite not merely different Christian bodies, quote, "For Christianity should be capable of existing in a variety of forms in the universal church," end quote, but also, quote, "the partial truths of all the heresies," and, quote, "all the humanistic creative activity of modern man, as a religious experience consecrated in the Spirit. A, quote, "new Christianity is approaching, a, quote, new mysticism, which will be deeper than religions and ought to untie them. For, quote, there is a great spiritual brotherhood, to which not only the churches of East and West belong, but also all those whose wills are directed towards God and the divine, all in fact who aspire to some form of spiritual elevation," end quote. That is to say, people of every religion, sect, and religious ideology. He predicted the advent of, quote, "a new and final revelation," quote, "the new age of the Holy Spirit," end quote, resurrecting the prediction of Joachim of Florus, the 12th century Latin monk who saw the two ages of the Father, Old Testament, and the Son, New Testament, giving way to a final, quote, "third age of the Holy Spirit." Berdeyev writes, quote, "The world is moving towards a new spirituality and a new mysticism. In it there will be no more of the ascetic worldview." Quote, "The success of the movement towards Christian unity presupposes a new era in Christianity itself, a new and deep spirituality, which means a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit," end quote. There is clearly nothing whatever in common between these super ecumenist fantasies and Orthodox Christianity, which Berdyaev in fact despised. Yet anyone aware of the religious climate of our times will see that these fantasies in fact correspond to one of the leading currents of contemporary religious thought. Berdyaev does indeed seem to be a, quote, prophet, or rather, to have been sensitive to a current of religious thought and feeling which was not so evident in his day, but has become almost dominant today. Everywhere one hears of a new, quote, "movement of the Spirit," and now a Greek Orthodox priest, Father Eusebius Stefanou, invites Orthodox Christians to join this movement when he writes of, quote, "the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our day," end quote. Elsewhere in the same publication, the associate editor Ashanin invokes not merely the name, but also the very program of Berdyaev. Quote, "We recommended the writings of Nicholas Berdyaev, the great spiritual prophet of our age. This spiritual genius is the greatest theologian of spiritual creativeness. Now, the cocoon of orthodoxy has been broken. God's divine logos is leading people to a new understanding of their history and their mission in him. The logos is the herald of this new age, of the new posture of orthodoxy," end quote. Introduction Part 4, The Present Book. All of this constitutes the background of the present book, which is the study of the, quote, "new religious spirit of our times that underlies and gives inspiration to the, quote, "dialogue with non-Christian religions." The first three chapters offer a general approach to non-Christian religions and their radical difference from Christianity, both in theology and in spiritual life. The first chapter is a theological study of the, quote, "God" of the Near Eastern religions with which Christian ecumenists hope to unite on the basis of, quote, "monotheism." The second concerns the most powerful of the Eastern religions, Hinduism, based on a long personal experience which ended in the author's conversion from Hinduism to Orthodox Christianity. It also gives an interesting appraisal of the meaning, quote, "for Hinduism" in the, quote, "dialogue with Christianity." The third chapter is a personal account of the meeting of an Orthodox priest monk with an Eastern, quote, miracle worker, a direct confrontation of Christian and non-Christian, quote, spirituality. The next four chapters are specific studies of some of the significant spiritual movements of the 1970s. Chapters 4 and 5 examine the, quote, new religious consciousness, with particular reference to, quote, meditation movements which now claim many, quote, Christian followers, and more, quote, ex-Christians. Chapter 6 looks at the spiritual implications of a seemingly non-religious phenomenon of our times, which is helping to form the, quote, new religious consciousness, even among people who think they are far from any religious interest. The seventh chapter discusses at length the most controversial religious movement among, quote, Christians today, the, quote, charismatic revival, and tries to define its nature in the light of Orthodox spiritual doctrine. In the conclusion, the significance and goal of the, quote, new religious consciousness are discussed in the light of Christian prophecy concerning the last times. The, quote, religion of the future, to which they point, is set forth and contrasted with the only religion which is irreconcilably in conflict with it, true Orthodox Christianity. The, quote, sign of the times, as we approach the fearful decade of the 1980s, are all too clear. Let Orthodox Christians, and all who wish to save their souls in eternity, take heed and act. This concludes part one of Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future by Father Seraphim Rose. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Thank you, and God bless.